Today, I am joined by Everton Mlalazi, and we're going to share his brand new song with you, man. I must just tell you, his music is so anointed. The song we're going to be talking about today is Muri Muchfere. And Everton is an acclaimed, award-winning Christian vocalist, songwriter, philanthropist, hailing all the way from Zimbabwe. And he has honed the craft of music that resonates deeply, not just on the continent of Africa, but across the world. And he's known for delivering sincere, Holy Spirit-led worship music that inspires faith and devotion as well. His music focuses on creating moments of encounter, and I certainly felt that with this new song as well. Moments of encounter in the presence of God. It's my honor and my privilege to now welcome to Elevated, Everton Mlalazi. Everton, good day and welcome to Elevated.
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very
It's
blessed.
good to be here.
Yes. I'm so blessed and excited that we get to speak about some of your music today. But before we do that, perhaps just tell us a bit about your testimony, who you are. People might hear you and they hear your music, but they don't know the testimony behind the songs.
I think thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to just speak about myself a little bit. I'm a, you know, devout Christian, you know, hailing from the Seventh Day Adventist Church. That's where I was raised. I grew up, you know, in a family where my parents have been Christians since we were young. And my mom, especially my dad, is probably the reason, you know, why I ventured into music. Because growing up, my parents were very, very, very big on, you know, family worship every morning and every evening. And the alarm that we used to actually know that it was time for worship was my father singing a song in the living room. We knew that it, once he starts singing a song, if it's in the evening, we stop whatever we're doing and then we rush because it was time for prayer. Same as in the morning, I mean, 5 a.m., 4 a.m., it depended really upon him as to what time, you know, he would want us to, you know, to speak, so to have worship. So he would start singing a song. You'd hear him, you know, the dulcet voice of my father there, and then he starts singing. That we all knew that it was time. So I definitely, you know, started having a huge interest in music, and then growing up, going to church. Would listen to choirs sing, and then I also then grew up in a mission school, you know, one of those schools which is a church school, and we would have lots of times to actually also sing. So I started music groups, and interestingly, they're all boy groups, you know, that I started, and I kept on. Until around 2014, when I then started a group called The Vine, and then we only recorded in 2018, and the rest became history. But I can tell you the most exciting thing about me is that my solo career began in 2020 during COVID, and the reason was because we couldn't now. So I was used to singing in groups and I led many groups. But then this time around, I couldn't rehearse. We couldn't rehearse. We couldn't do much. So quickly, you know, had to improvise. And then I worked on a song together with my producer. His name is Nigel. And we worked on a song, you know, took that song to radio. And it did amazing things. And the question was now, so tell me, where have you been? I mean, why, please release more. And since then, you know, God has been the author and creator of my journey in music. He's just led me, into one stage and another.
You know what?
Now being able to do songs with Bishop Benjamin Dube, songs with Letty Smith, Black Mambazo, songs with the Soweto Gospel Choir, songs with Vashon Mitchell from America, now with Moses Bliss from Nigeria, it's Colin Wango. It's just been, and now I sing. I'm also part of Spirit of Praise, by the way. So it's just been a journey where God has just been opening these doors, and I can't believe it. I still can't believe. But all I can say to anybody that is listening is that, all things are possible. All things are possible, for as long as you are with Him. God is faithful. Whatever He's promised, He will perform it.
Amen, amen. Everton, as I'm listening to your testimony, one almost gets the sense that your life has been carefully curated by God. Everything carefully
Certainly.
curated from where you were born, who your parents were, to how you grew into now the solo career. Do you have that sense that God has been very intimately involved in your life since the very inception?
Certainly. And I can say this again. I do philanthropic work, but I also am into business. And a few of my colleagues in business have always asked me, Everton, why are you doing this? We have so much work to do. What are you doing? And the one thing I'll say to them is, it's the least I can do for God, for who He has been in my life. How He has transformed me from a village boy, growing into college, into university. And if I tell you my experience, even when I was in college, you would be surprised. I went to university the first day. I didn't even know where I was going to sleep. I didn't know where I was going to stay. I just went, and I spent the rest of the day, waiting by the student affairs department, hoping somebody would come and say, I will give you a room to sleep. When that eventually happened, it was late. But then what they were doing was also illegal, because it was not allowed for someone to share a room at the university. And so every evening, security would come and check me out, and I would go and sleep in the library because I didn't have anywhere to sleep. By then, I also wasn't sure what my next meal was going to be. But I don't know, I don't know how God does His things. But through my gift, things happen. I went to sing at some church with friends, and then someone said they had a room that they were not using at university because they're staying with their family now. So they gave me a room. I started using their room as mine. I didn't have money to get by. We went, we did a competition where we were singing. Our group came tops, and then they said they wanted someone who was going to be the coordinator of the groups because they wanted to record an album. And then they gave me a job. The stipend was higher than whatever teachers and nurses and whoever was earning. So they were paying me that on a monthly basis. It's things that God just put there for me. I never, I can't even say it was because of me, but it was God putting these opportunities there, right there for me to say, Everton, I've got a plan for your life. Go and do it. And the least I can do is to proclaim His name and just tell Him, tell people how good He has been to me. And just say to them, He certainly can do the same for you.
Everton, what does it mean to your family to see you having grown from those worship sessions in your house with your family to now ministering with some of the biggest artists in the world, as you said, from village boy to world stages? What's their experience witnessing all of this?
So let me tell you, it is interesting that you're saying that my dad is now 84 years old. He was we had to send an ambulance for him just this past week, because he was not feeling too well, and he came. So on Saturday I was with him in hospital, and we were just talking, and he says to me, "Do you know that you are not just a musician?" I said, "Why?" He says, "I want you to know that you have a responsibility." And I said, "What is the responsibility?" He said, "You have a responsibility to minister to people. You, from today, I christen you Minister Everton Malazi, because that's who you are. You are meant to go and speak to people. You don't know how much you have influenced our life, yourself. How good you've been, you know, how now you've become a pillar for us, even as a family. But that, even after that is not enough. What you are doing now," I said to him, "I was going to Bulawayo, which is the second city in Zimbabwe, and I had a show that evening." And he said to me, "You're not going to sing, you're going to preach. I want you to know that your responsibility is not just to sing, it is to preach. So whatever music that you are churning out should be music that is life-changing, that is meant to encourage people, that is meant to ask people to repent and be better people and be prepared for the second coming of Christ." So I have so much support, and my father was telling me how grateful he is to God, for raising me for such a time.
What would you say to somebody who's listening and they feel that they don't have the material means necessary to become successful in life? For instance, some people will look at other successful people, then look at themselves and say, I'm just a village boy. I'm from a small town, or I'm a girl from a small town. I don't have the vocabulary. I might not even have the education. All I know is that I have a call. But I feel like it's bigger than me. I'm not going to be able to do it because of where I'm from or what I have or what I don't have. From your experience, what would you say to them?
Quickly, just say to you that the first thing is that the music is, especially gospel music, is relational. It is really about your relationship with God. Be authentic, be real, be yourself, and continue to doing what you are doing within your sphere, wherever you are. God is gonna come at an opportune time in his time and place you where he wants you to be. Your journey might not necessarily be my journey, but be rest assured, your journey is there for you to walk, and God will walk right through with you that journey. So never look at someone's journey. I could look at other people's journey. Some people just do one song and they're big, and they're all over the world. Some have to do 20 albums for people to recognize them. So I mean, journeys are different. They'll always be different. But what is important is to know that God is by you all the time. Your journey is authentic, it is personal, it is for you to live, it is for you to walk, and God will be right there with you. If he was faithful for my journey, if he was faithful to perform things I dreamt about when I was a boy, he definitely will do the same for you.
Amen, amen. Now, Everton, I'm going to play your new song for our listeners in a moment, but I want to just speak to you as a son of the soil for a second, as a businessman, somebody who clearly is a visionary in different spheres. What do you believe God's plan or his vision is for Africa, for the continent of Africa? Something that we as Africans should be working towards in our own different ways, wherever God has positioned us. What do you believe is God's call for Africa right now?
God is faithful. God has placed us all in the places that we are in for a purpose. I know that we wish to be somewhere else. The grass always looks greener elsewhere. But I say the grass actually can be watered to be green where you are. You don't have to look at the grass that other people have made green and envy it when you actually can make the grass green where you are. And I just want to say, God's call for Africa right now is He wants Africa to rise. He wants us to be our own people, the best version of our own selves, and acknowledge Him to be the God that He is for everyone. Never accept this idea that God has blessed other people more than He has blessed us. God is very faithful, and He has blessed all of us in the same way. What He wants, though, is a sense of belonging, a sense of understanding that we are Africans and we can make it. Africa is the continent with the minerals. Africa is the continent with the best weather. Africa is the continent with, the best land. Africa has got the most, has produced the most brilliant minds the world over. We are blessed with resources, but somebody has made us think that we have to be in their country, in their continent, for us to be better. I am saying, let's make the grass green here, and we will make it. But one more thing is that God is faithful enough to have heaven open for all of us. So therefore, we should take the good news to every corner. There are some people who have not heard about the goodness of God in Africa because some places are remote, some places are very difficult to reach. But I'm saying to you that this is the time. This is the time to use our resources, what God has given us, to reach every part of the continent, and every person has a right to know and make a decision about who God is in their lives. So this is the time.
Everton, what
Correct.
an anointed song. Of course, you worked with the authors Comfort Manyane and Once More Six on this one as well. Tell us about it. So anointed.
Beautiful song, and you have said it in the rightful way. This song for me is a moment song. It is a movement. It is just about proclaiming who God is. Mudumchene means you are holy. We go on to say ufanelwe in the song, which means you deserve it. You deserve all the glory. So it is a song I believe is a closet, moment song where you are by yourself and you just want to have a moment with God. All you just do is, be in that moment and do whatever. I mean, if you want to jump, jump. If you want to scream, scream. If you want to lie prostrate on the floor, you do that. If you want to call him Adonai, if you want to call him, whatever name, El Shaddai, El Gibor, if you want to call him that, because that's who he is.
Amen, amen. And that's exactly the feeling I got when I listened to it for the first time. It was instantly on repeat, and you felt like this intimate moment. Even though
Amen.
I couldn't see you guys, it felt like I'm in that moment, and it's an intimate one
Yep.
between me and God. I'd like for you to just share some advice for other worshipers on how to enter the holies of holies during worship. How do we connect with God and really create an atmosphere where people can have an encounter with God and not just a production?
Music has a one big challenge. Music is an art. That's number one. But secondly, one of the biggest things is that it's like eloquence in speech. You can be eloquent in speech, but empty in what you're saying. Now, how do you get to sing and be in that space where you draw people with you in the presence that you have never been? I mean, you have to have an experience yourself with God where you've been with Him so that when you sing and you go into that space, you also draw people with you into that space. And the advice I can just give is that have a relationship with God. Study His word, spend time in prayer, and meditate upon how good He is in your life, and have a relationship that is unbreakable with Him. Everything else will follow. And I think the Bible is clear when it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, will be added." If you want people to also experience, they have to experience what you have experienced in the song. I think that is the most important thing. Sometimes we want the song to then do miracles. No, it's impossible. I mean, it has to speak to you first. You have to have a moment with God in that song. And definitely that will also happen when people encounter the song.
Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your encounters with us today here on Elevated. I believe that somebody will be blessed, and there's so much more that we could have gone into. I would have loved to delve more into the business side of you as well, to glean from that. But I'm certain there'll be another opportunity. I can't let you go though without speaking about
Certainly.
that annual Thanksgiving dinner that you host, known as the Celestial Chorus. I see that the event brings together some of the best artists in the industry, and then you curate hymns with a modern artistry. I'm so intrigued by that. I want to come so badly. Tell us about it, where it happens, and the vision behind it.
So we love hymns, and I mean, hymns were written and authored by people, I believe, were so much blessed by God, and we thought, let's take people back to the basics, and and do hymns. But what we also thought was, but let's go classical. I mean, the world is going all out, when they do their big shows. I mean, there's always a big Rihanna show, a Beyonce show. There's always a big show somewhere. And so we have managed, with the help of our sponsors, especially a foundation called Bridging Gaps Foundation, we have managed to, curate 100-piece orchestra, 40 choir members on stage, 10-piece band, and we create an atmosphere of worship, that is next to none. And what we have done is to try and get, the voices that are elevating loudest during any season to come and sing those hymns, and relate to them in their own way, because that's the beauty about diversity. Everyone brings in something different. I could sing all the hymns by myself, to be honest, but it is beautiful if others come in, and share, their gift with the rest of the world in that. So it's an amazing, amazing, amazing experience.
When is the next one, and where is it taking place?
Again, on the 31st of December, always in Zimbabwe, in Harare, we always host it because it's a Thanksgiving dinner, as you say, gala dinner, which is kept, well kept by the music, as we go into the new year. So we then celebrate 3, 2, 1, happy 2026, exactly as we did this year, after such a dinner and such powerful music.
Well, it sounds like something that somebody needs to experience at least once
I mean,
in their
certainly,
life.
I mean, we should link up. I think you would have details for my team. It would be good, because we like it when different people from different parts of the world come to experience. In the last one, we had people from Rome, Italy, from Romania. We had people from Nigeria, from Uganda. We had people from Zambia, South Africa, obviously, United States, United Kingdom. But people from many, countries come and just experience this, this beautiful, beautiful production.
Well, I will certainly have our teams link us and connect us and look forward to getting to know more of your incredible ministry. Thank you, Minister, for blessing us today here on radio and for blessing us with your music. If people want to know more about you, they want to download the music, follow you on socials, how do they do that?
Thank you. I mean, if you want to know more about me, my ministry, the work that we're doing, you go on Instagram, on Facebook, even on YouTube for the music videos, and look for Everton Lalazi music. You will find it. I mean, even on all digital streaming platforms, your iTunes, your Spotify, your Deezer, Amazon, TikTok, all of those, you will still find. If you just type Everton Lalazi, the music, you will find it. Even Mudimu, the song that you're gonna play next, is on there as well.
It's amazing. It is amazing. Everton, thank you so much for your time. The Lord bless you, and I do appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and may God bless you.